Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we will continue our current series of studies, The Power of the Gospel, as recorded in the book of Romans. Our theme verse for this series of studies is verse 16 of that first chapter of Romans. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And we've been showing thus far on these studies that each of these verses, the first six verses at least, give a direct reference to some aspect of the gospel. In verse 1 of Romans chapter 1, we read of the apostle of the gospel. We'll just read it, especially for the benefit of those who have just tuned in for the first time. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God. And then in verse 2, we have the promise of the gospel, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Now remember, the antecedent for all these things is the gospel of God. Now in verse 3, we have the subject of the gospel concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. And then in verse 4, we have the proof of the gospel, which we read and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Now in verse 5, we want to emphasize today, we have the scope of the gospel. Listen, please, to the scope of the gospel. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Now this is Paul's testimony. The gospel is for all people. As a matter of fact, on the broadcast today, we want to give a threefold testimony as to the universality of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We've already given one. Paul here says, for obedience to the faith among all nations, nobody excluded. Then we have the angels, which we will consider a little bit better, a little bit later, rather, in Luke chapter 2. And then we have the testimony of the Lord himself to Nicodemus in the third chapter of John's Gospels, which we will get to in the course of time. But today, let's think about the fact why, in the Old Testament, was the Jewish people the only avenue to God? And it's true. If a person approached God in the Old Testament, he had to come through the Jewish nation. Now, why was that so? Well, for a very simple reason. All the rest of the world was idolatrous. The Jews only believed in the true God, and you had to be a Jew or a Jewish proselyte at least to come to in contact with God. Now, there's a real reason for this, because those nations were all idolaters, and that separation spared them when they came to the Jewish nation, became Jews, at least in regard to their faith. That separation spared them from further exposure to idols. We know the power of those idols. Now, for instance, Abraham himself, the very father of the Jewish nation, in whom all the nations of the earth should be blessed. It goes spiritual as well as physical, as well as human family tradition. Now, he came from an idolatrous background. He came from the Ur of the Chaldees. He came from idol worshippers. Now, we do know that those idolatrous nations, Abraham came from one of them. But God met him one day, and God proved to himself. He gave him a command: get you up out of the Ur of the Chaldees and go to a place where I'm going to tell you of. There was no mistaking. He was in contact with God, and he never saw idols again. He, just like the Thessalonians, which we're going to refer to in course of time, he never saw those idols again. He never worshipped them. He had seen the living God and his glory. The God of glory called our father Abraham. We read in Acts chapter 7. And Abraham never did see idols again. He had seen the God of glory. And oh, he was the father of a mighty nation of people that was a blessing to all the earth. They had to become Jews for the simple reason that that was the only place to get it. All the other nations were idolatrous. And I think this is brought out by the fact that in Deuteronomy chapter 26, Abraham, the Jewish people, even there, when they brought their first fruits, and they had to come and bring their first fruits to Jerusalem, give them, present them to the Lord, the first of their crop. Now when they came, God gave them a little speech to make. And here it is, beginning at verse 3 in the 26th chapter of Deuteronomy. And thou shalt go up, shall go unto the priest that shall be in those days, and say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God, that I am come unto the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers for to give us. And the priest shall take the basket out of thine hand, and set it down before the altar of the Lord God, and thou shalt speak and say, before the Lord thy God, a Syrian ready to perish was my father. Ready to perish how? In idolatry. Ready to perish was my father, and he went down into Egypt and sojourned there a few, and came and became a great nation, mighty and populous. Now, Abraham had that kind of background. And it's strange enough that the wife of Isaac and the wife of Jacob, they both had idolatrous backgrounds before they met their husbands. Now, we read that Rebekah was the brother, or rather was the sister of Laban. And these were relatives of Abraham. And they were led back there by the Holy Spirit of God, by the servant, in the 24th of Genesis. They were led back there. Now, Laban was an idolater. Later, when his daughter, Rebekah, the wife of Isaac, was Laban's sister, but Rachel, the wife of Jacob, was Laban's daughter. Now, when he fled from Laban to go back to the land of Israel, Laban pursued him because why? He'd stolen his idols. Imagine that, if you please. What a deliverance those girls found in their husbands by getting out of idolatry. Idolatry is still in the world today. It's a terrible grip. It's the effort of Satan to divert people away from our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's go quickly to the angel of the Lord, our second testimony, who brought the news to those shepherds in the field on the night that our Lord Jesus Christ was born. They came and they said to those people, those shepherds, the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, did you notice when I read this? I read it rather quickly. Which shall be to all people. Now, the contact with God goes beyond the Jewish nation. It comes through Christ, not through the Jewish nation. It comes through contact with our Lord Jesus Christ. And we come to God through Christ. Now, he was Jew? Yes, he was. But this is a different avenue. It's through the Christ that loved us and died for us on the cross of Calvary. And this was good news that the shepherds went and told to Mary and to Joseph, the message that the angels gave them. They were amazed at that message. Shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. A wonderful testimony to all people. Now I think last of all of the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ in the third chapter of John's Gospel. Here is the third testimony. The Lord Jesus Christ was visited one night by a man by the name of Nicodemus. He came at night. I don't think Nicodemus came at night because he was a coward. This was an honorable man. He was the teacher of Israel. The Lord called him that. He was a rabbi supreme, the most supreme in all of Israel. And he came by night, not because he was ashamed to come to Christ, but because that was the only time he could reach him. And Christ gave him a lesson. He told him that he must be born again. And Nicodemus didn't understand that. Wasn't he right? He was a teacher. Did he need to be born again? And he said, can a man enter into his second time into his mother's womb and be born? No, the Lord's talking about a spiritual birth. You know, as we were born into the family of mankind, into Adam's family, so we must be born into God's family by a spiritual birth, not by a natural birth, but by a spiritual birth. Nicodemus didn't understand that. He was puzzled. And then the Lord gave him an illustration. He said to Nicodemus, he said, when you remember that time in the wilderness, now this, of course, is very loosely translated. He referred Nicodemus back to that time in the wilderness when the servants of Israel bit the people of Israel because they had sinned against the Lord, and they came to Moses, and Moses lifted up the brazen serpent, and the Lord Jesus said, now, that speaks of me, that brazen serpent. They were bitten by a snake, the poison, and that snake was in their body. How did they get delivered? The Lord told Moses, lift up a serpent of brass on the pole, and it will come to pass if anybody looks to that serpent of brass, he'll be healed. You know, it worked. Now he says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then he quotes that wonderful verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. What's this? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Think of that, if you will, please. For God so loved the world? Yes. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, no preferences, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Wonderful, wonderful truth of God. This is for everybody. Now, this was new to Nicodemus. The Jews, still in that day, thought that they were the channel to God. Well, indeed, they were, to the true God. But after Christ comes, it becomes a channel to an individual, not an individual nation. An individual. And that individual is Christ. He is the way to God. Why? He died for our sins. He loves us, and he wants us into his kingdom. Have we come to him? Our Father, today we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that these wonderful truths in Romans 1 about the gospel will sink into our hearts and minds and set our minds at rest, cause us to put our trust in Christ. In his name, amen.